Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Conversation here with the Knicks. We'll get into some baseball this hour as well. Some news in the AL East. Maybe it impacts the Yankees. Maybe not. OMG is no more at Citi Field. So we could go over both those things and whatever other storylines we want to discuss in the world of baseball and spring training. But we started with the Knicks. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app, BT. We'll keep it going here. You know, I think it's a fun conversation to have. What moves could they have made? Was it the right time? I trust Leon Rose and understand that it may not be the championship team. Like, they may never get the championship, but I do think it was the right timing, and I also believe it was the right moves. Also considering what moves he could have made years ago that could have prevented the Knicks from being in a spot to go get Karl Anthony Towns or even Bridges. Now it's just on Bridges to perform. Now it's on getting Mitchell Robinson back and keeping him healthy and seeing if that can improve their defense and seeing if Tibbs can get his team to break through in a short season or a short series in the postseason.
Listen, I could be very impressed with the job that Leon Rose has done and still have reservations about the absolute upside of the team. I mean, I get it. Leon Rose done a lot of good things. He's restored pride, and he's proven to be a tremendous hire by James Dolan. James Dolan's letting him cook. He's been staying out of the way, which I think you have to appreciate. Still worried. Still worried.
All right, let's get back to the phones here. Corey is in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it,
Corey. So, I unfortunately agree with BT's read on this, lean with his read on this. In a seven-game series, you got to roll with a team that has better talent, pedigree, and chemistry. I also think that they just might be in a situation with the Knicks might be a contender the same way that teams were contenders with the Warriors dynasty. Like the Rockets were a contender. Like they were a great team.
All right. So yeah, what do you want? And that, I'm assuming you're referencing the Celtics, right? That you don't think the Knicks can beat the Celtics in a seven-game series?
Right.
Okay, but like the Celtics are the champions. They were great. What moves were there that the Knicks could have made to ever get them to be better than the Celtics, this iteration of it?
No, I don't think this year. I think the Knicks definitely need to reload that bench a little bit, build up the depth, and I think next year they can take him. Maybe the Celtics lose some of those pieces, but right now the Celtics are just a well-oiled machine.
They're very good, Corey, and they're just better than the Knicks. But you know, let's not confuse this Celtics team with the Celtics of the mid-'80s with Bird and McHale and Parrish and Dennis Johnson and Danny Ainge and Bill Walton. I mean,
yeah, but they're the best in the league right now.
I know
they are. And Tatum and Brown are arguably the best tandem in the league, and they're not going anywhere.
I don't think Brown. Yeah, I mean, Tatum's phenomenal. And so is Jaylen Brown. The best tandem.
They're better than the Knicks, dude.
Oh, like, I know. I know they are.
Meaning both those two guys individually.
They're tandems.
You'd rather have Tatum over anybody on the Knicks and Brown over anybody on the Knicks. I love Jaylen Brown, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's our superstar. Love him. But Brown is a better player.
Well, I mean, so how do you even? This is so different, but I don't know, if you take Jason Tatum off the Celtics and Jaylen Brown is the lead dog, I think that a team with Jalen Brunson as the lead dog would be better than Jalen Brunson being the top dog. I do believe that.
Maybe, but I think Brown's just a better player. Better defensive player. He's been more proven
in the postseason.
He's a great
defensive player.
Yeah, okay, so.
Terrific.
But those are, I mean, those
but
are major
factors. But he's not doing what Jalen's doing offensively. It's impossible to compare.
Yeah.
Because he does have Jason Tatum.
Right.
But there's a, I think that there's just a limit to what this team can become. And I'm not even worried about the minutes distribution. Oh, I don't love the Knicks bench. I know that was a talking point. Yeah. It still is to an extent. Oh, Tom Thibodeau with the minutes, Tibbs with the minutes. I got it. I don't even complain about that much. I complain about maybe the Knicks' best players not being good enough.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. That's why, Corey, I don't understand the last caller saying, like, yeah, you know, I'm with you, BT. I don't think they can beat the Celtics. Yeah, well, show me somebody who does think that they're going to beat the Celtics.
The Thunder.
No, I'm talking about from the Knicks' perspective.
Gotcha.
Like, that's not, they're not as good as the Celtics. Well, then why are we watching them to begin with? The point should be that they still have a chance. Even you would say, BT, and you said this flat out, that everything is still there in front of
them. Sure.
Now they got to get Mitchell back. They got to keep him back healthy. They got to figure out how Bridges is going to have more of an impact. Karl Anthony Towns got to be tough in the postseason. Like, all these things have to take place, which may not be likely, and who knows what's going to happen with the Celtics. Hey, maybe they don't even face the Celtics. Maybe the Celtics lose to somebody else. You don't know. So my point is that last year, and this is just me, there was a roadblock last year. In my mind, a roadblock once Julius Randle got hurt. That roadblock is not there anymore other than the Celtics, which has always been there. But I'm looking at this team and the Knicks as currently constructed. They have a chance to win a championship. If they don't, that means that only one or two teams do, because they are the fourth best team or the fourth best record in the game right now. So then who does have, like, we could go into every season and say who's got a realistic chance to be the champion, specifically in the NBA, and how many teams you coming up with then?
Yeah, no, understood. But there's also, let's bring the Yankees out there. Like, to say that the Yankees are going to represent the American League and get to the World Series sounds a lot more realistic than it does that the Knicks will get to the NBA Finals. So there's varying degrees of confidence, which is what I'm saying.
No, but in the NBA, like, if I were to ask you coming into the season, who are the teams that can win legitimately the NBA championship?
It would be probably the same list, maybe a slightly different order, but that doesn't mean that I didn't think that the gap would be narrowed between the Knicks and the Celtics, and it hasn't been. See, my pushback, Sal, is that I think a lot of Knicks fans, and I don't mean this as a shot. I honestly don't. We're just having a conversation, but I think a lot of you are operating under a false sense of security, a false level of belief in who this team is. And I really think that last night is a great example why. Yeah, they got a great record. Yeah, they're one of the better teams in the NBA. Yeah, they won last night. Okay, those are all true. They gave up basically 150 points.
Right.
They didn't box out again. The Hawks got the offensive rebound, kicked it to the corner, wide open three. In the NBA, the corner three is the easiest three. I promise you, the Celtics, they're hitting that shot. I promise you, Donovan Mitchell, somebody from the Cavs, they're sticking that shot. I promise you, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, somebody on the Thunder, they ain't clanking that shot. So they give up 150. They don't box out. They give up an open look. And we're supposed to be thrilled that the Knicks beat a team that's lost 10 out of 14? I'm sorry.
No, but last year, my argument is exactly what you're saying, that Knicks fans were blind to the fact that they thought that team could be a championship team, where I knew there was no way they could, especially without Julius Randle, just because they didn't have the talent. At least now, in my mind, they have the talent. So I'm not going nuts about the loss last night. I'm with you. Like, I look at the score, you see 140 points. It's, like, disgusting.
Oh,
the fact that you allowed that many points.
Jeez.
And it would take that much. Now, Tibbs could say, oh, it's a back-to-back, and our guys fought. And yeah, they won the game, sure. But I'm not looking at that saying, oh, look at this win, necessarily. But I look at the talent that they have, and I think the ceiling is higher now than it was a year ago.
Got you. But I also think there's a lot of other games, maybe not 149 to 148, but where they won. And similarly, I haven't felt good about it. That's why I'm pushing back on the record.
I got it.
I get it. Like, I know what the record is, and I know where they stand
in
the standings.
Even forget the record, talent-wise.
Like, yes, talent-wise,
they stack up with,
Yes.
They're not as good or better than everybody, but they're on par with the top teams in the league.
They are and they aren't.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you. Yeah. I think their bench is weaker than every team that can win a championship, and I think that their defense is too soft.
Right.
So, when you look at, like, all-star, star, shooters, wings,
Scoring-wise.
Yeah, yes. They put the ball in the hole.
And also, one of the things that you talked about there is going to get, well, actually, two of the things. The depth could get better with the return of Mitchell Robinson.
Could,
yep. And the defense should get better with Mitchell Robinson. So, like, that's a big piece.
And that's what you've been saying.
Well, I'm just saying that it's, again, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Celtics or that I expect to have a parade for the Knicks. I think that it's still possible, whereas last year I did not think it was possible. Now, we do have some Jets news here, BT, powered by Verizon. Mm. Hoff is telling me it is official, Hoff, that the Jets told...
The Jets made a statement, and they spoke to Aaron Rodgers, and they are moving forward.
How did they frame the statement?
Last week we met with Aaron and shared that our intention was to move in a different direction at quarterback. It was important to have the discussion now to provide clarity and enable each of us the proper time to plan for our respective futures.
Okay. Well done. Very direct. Nothing like, there's nothing really to add to the conversation there, which is a good job by the Jets. One of the problems with the Jets forever is that, like, their little issues kind of become bigger and it just becomes a steaming pile of you-know-what, and it's like the conversation never ends. However, on some level, that contradicts the report. Because the first thing they said, we met with Aaron Rodgers and informed him that we're going to move in a different direction of quarterback. Now, the Athletic Russini report, and this is a very big difference, was, okay, they met, and eventually they informed him that they were going to move on and have a different quarterback. But they were open to him returning under a different set of criteria, which, and I don't want them to put that in the press release because that is then taking an unnecessary shot at Rodgers, and it gives life to a story that you don't need life to at this point. But let's not get it twisted. They still were open to Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Right. I think so, too. I don't really care at this point what the Jets have to say because we already know what their decision was. We heard about that with the reporting last week or early in the week, whatever it was at this point. I want to hear from Rodgers now.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to hear his side of what went on. I have my thoughts about what went on with the Jets, and now you hear their statement, of course. I want to hear from Aaron Rodgers. That's the next thing for me to really put an end to the Jets, Rodgers, sad couple of years here. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from his perspective, honesty about how it went down, what was said to him, how he responded, why he thinks that they decided to move on, if he in fact wanted to move on as well. Like, we don't have his side of things just yet. So to me, that's going to be the important piece of this.
You nailed it. That's what I'm waiting for too. Yeah. I agree.
And we don't know what's going to happen. Of course, the football conversation powered by Verizon. Always fun to talk some football and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Let's get back to the calls here, BT, on the Knicks. Sean is in Flushing. What's up, Sean?
What's up, guys? Listen, I just wanted to chime in here quickly, make a couple points to try to talk a few guys off the ledge. First of all, I agree, there's no doubt the Celtics are a better team, but there's also no doubt, and I agree with Sal, the Knicks are unequivocally better than last year. That's not really debatable. I think that the excitement came when we traded for OG, when we got Dante, and the energy just changed on the team, and everything changed. Mm-hmm. That energy didn't exist for the first 3 months of the season.
Right.
So that energy now, this season, is absolutely there. Now, BT, on your point, I agree. It's not the same level as last year, but it's also not the same time of the year. You know, we're just at the All-Star break now. And I think that team defense is the best defense, not individual defense. And the Knicks just still haven't really found that team defense.
Yeah.
And I think with Mitch, really, now he's a potato chip. We all agree with that. He can't stay on the court.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, a healthy Mitch, he rebounds. He led the NBA in offensive rebounding last year, and he missed half the year. So at this point, we got to let the chips play out in the second half. And the other thing was with the Celtics, they're definitely better. There's no question. But last year, we blew the Celtics out by 40. There was never a time where somebody said, we're better than them. And the Knicks are one of, if not the best offensive scoring team. Most of the first half, they were the best offensive team in basketball.
Yep.
And when they played the Celtics, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. It was a bad shooting night. They didn't rebound, the lack of effort, and then again, the team defense. So that's just me trying and I've always been an optimistic, half-glass full guy, that I believe this team is unequivocally better, and I believe they're going to have a really good postseason run, because I think when the chips fall into place and the pressure's on, you're going to get what you get from this team as far as the maximum potential.
It's a good call. I would agree with a lot of the things he said there. I think he laid that out really well. I don't agree with everything. The energy thing to me, okay, is the energy dissipating now because it's, you know, just a mundane part of the season? Or is the energy less visible now because they have less energetic players? I believe it's the latter.
I think it could be a combination of both. And I think that even me lacking excitement or energy watching this team is because I am ready for the big show. Like, now they've been in the postseason the last couple of years. I want to see Mitchell Robinson come back. I think that's going to add a level of excitement and energy. Okay, now let's see what this team really is supposed to be as they were designed to be put together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the postseason, that's where, now we've gotten used to it. I hate to sound spoiled here, but how are you supposed to get in the NBA regular season when you're ready for the postseason and a team with championship expectations? Like, this is just kind of...
Because they haven't won anything, that's why. So the ride is still enjoyable.
Yeah, but this is wasting time, or just you're spending time here to get to the good stuff. It's fun, sure, but it's not the good stuff. The good stuff,
but it's not as fun. I'm not having fun, yeah. And I don't think you're having as much fun as last year.
Well, I mean, no, because they're not complete. They're not whole right now. I want to see. And look, I like the offense that they have, obviously. And I agree with our last caller, Sean. Like, he's more in alignment with me. Other than him being an optimist, I am a realist. So I don't want to, I'm not saying that the Knicks have a chance to win a championship because I'm an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it because I believe that their talent, the reason that he pointed out about the offense being one of the top offenses in the sport, Mitchell Robinson coming back, like, there's all reasons why I think the Knicks still have a chance. I don't believe that they're going to be a championship team if I had a bet on it, but it's all still there in front of them. That's not, in my mind, being optimistic. It's being realistic. I don't know if they're going to go on a postseason run. I need to see it. As a matter of fact, I have my doubts about Karl Anthony Towns or about their style translating in the postseason.
Yeah.
I need to see it. That's what I'm waiting to see all year long. It's fun. It's great, especially on a night where they win, like last night, whatever, that's fine. Beat the Pacers, always enjoy that. But I am just waiting for the postseason.
Yeah, and I can't get there because this team hasn't won yet. I will give you that there's been certain Yankee seasons, not last year, because it's been a long time since they got to the World Series, but you know, where you go back to the 96, 98, 99, obviously not 96, but when you start getting deeper into that championship, and not 2000 because it was the Mets, but when you get, you know, like the Braves and the Padres, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the championships, the energy and the night-to-night enthusiasm, it does drop off. I think it's just natural. Human emotion drops off a little bit when you become accustomed to doing something. Hey, listen, you start playing golf, you get your first par, you feel like you just shot a 65. And then, you know, if you play enough golf and, you know, maybe you scratch out five or six pars around, I'm not saying you don't enjoy the pars, but they don't feel quite the way the first par or the first time you broke 100, whatever that bench, you know, that baseline might be. The point is, like, the Knicks have not accomplished enough at all where I'm going to take the regular season for granted and just say, all right, I can't wait till, you know, mid-April and May, and let's see what this team's got. Like, if the Knicks, if they had the same record that they do now, and they looked and felt a little different, more like last year, I would be more enthusiastic about not only the now, but also the future. But because there's a lot of, you know, nights where I'm like, geez, you barely beat this team, or come on, you let the Pistons, so I know, or they're more competitive, I know, than they've been, but you let the Pistons come in twice to the Garden and you lose. Like, there's just been too many head scratching nights. That's all. I can't ignore those.
No, I get it. We'll continue the conversation with the Knicks. Also, a couple of news bits here to get to. One before we break, and then we'll do one baseball one. Yankees bit of news. We'll do that when we come back from the break. But just to tie up the Rodgers stuff, BT, multiple reports saying this is likely going to be a post.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
June 1st release to help manage the cap hit. So I would believe that, let's see, Samini here has... the Jets will likely designate Rodgers as a June 1st cut, meaning he would have to stay on the roster until the start of the league year, March 12th. He'd be able to sign elsewhere on March 13th.
Yep.
So I guess we'll get more clarity. But the post-June 1st cap hit, does that mean now that they would spread it out over the course of the 2 years?
All right, so you're talking about a $49 million cap hit, which is the dead money. Either take it this year, and we discussed this many times on the show.
Yeah.
Or obviously you punt and you designate 6-1 cut. If they do, and it looks like they will, designate him as a 6-1 cut.
Right.
Now they're going to be forced to carry his 2025 cap charge until June 1, and then it would drop to $14 million. But then they would get hit with the $35 million charge in 2026, which now I'm going to let them do their business. That's not what I would do because I'm of the mindset of the belief, hey, you're going to take it on the chin. Don't sprinkle this into 2026. Let's start building now and then eventually have that dissolve in 2026. There's no remnants of the Rodgers era. That's not what I would do. I don't love it, but they have capologists, and they know a ton more than me.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. We'll get to the Yankees news when we come back.
Come sit next to
me,
the fine fellow. You run over there.
This is what I know.
You can perform this one.
Comes next? Hey, Buster Moore.
That's like the old kind of corny but still awesome cheesy rap stuff. If it's even rap, that's awesome.
All right, a couple of news
just
items here.
Just Buster Moore.
BT, it's Al back on the Fan. Number one, and this is a lesser one. I just saw it here. Andrew Marchand had it. Carmelo Anthony is going to be hired by NBC to be a studio analyst when it begins broadcasting NBA in 2025-2026.
I think it'll be good. It's my first reaction. I think Carmelo's got we criticize, or at least we are critical of some of his shortcomings as a player, and certainly acknowledge what he was awesome at as a scorer. But I think Carmelo, with the spoken word, I think he's going to be very good, actually. That's my first reaction.
Yeah, Melo was always a guy that I felt like, yeah, I'd love to hang out with Carmelo, which is going to be a good thing for a broadcasting perspective, but I just never thought he was a good Nick. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he was lazy.
Yep.
I thought he was a lazy player. I thought he was too full of himself as a player.
Yeah.
I thought he was overrated by a fan base who never saw anything remotely successful with the Knicks, so they over-elevate what Carmelo Anthony was.
Yep.
I think Melo thinks his number should be retired. It would, to me, be a that would be a dark day in Knicks history if they raise his number to the rafters. Like, I just don't think he's that good. But I do think he's going to be a good broadcaster.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the whole rafter thing, you know, we get into this with whether it's Alonzo when he breaks records, even if he, like, bounces after this year. We've had this conversation quite a bit. Mets will do it with David Wright. We know the Yankees have a ton. I don't push back too much on that because, as I've often said, like, you're a fan. It's your venue. It's not a national thing. It's a regional, localized thing. So I think most Knicks fans would prefer that it goes up there. I would say no.
Right.
And I'd be a little more okay with it if Bernard King goes up first.
I mean,
and
come on.
Then Carmelo. If Carmelo goes up before Bernard, they are twisted.
Come on. All right, now the Yankees news item. We'll get back to the Knicks calls here in just a sec. 888-808-1019. Marcus Stroman, who took his physical on Tuesday, has been a no-show for workouts the last 2 days. Club is not yet certain when he will be on the field.
Wow.
Yeah, technically, I guess, according to the CBA, this is according to Eric Boland and his Twitter feed, technically, according to the CBA, he isn't required to be on the field until February 22nd. The club was informed by his agent before his physical. But Stroman, a no-show.
Yeah. He also scrubbed his socials of the Yankees. Yeah, so
poor Stroman. Wah, typical Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
Seriously, what were the Yankees getting? What were they thinking?
I have no idea. He was actually on very good behavior. He didn't tweet anything last year. He just wasn't very good after, you know,
18
a
million.
Decent start. I know.
Now potentially preventing them from getting a third baseman.
That's the problem here. So that's what they're trying to do. Listen, the Cardinals are still engaging the Yankees and others, you know, Bregman to the Red Sox, which, you know, and that's now one less option for the Red Sox in terms of Arenado. Even though Bregman's going to play second, you know, I don't think Arenado's going to the Red Sox. So I think that the Stroman stuff is going to be resolved, and he's not going to be on the team. I think the Yankees, I don't know if people feel this quite the way I do. I think that Arenado's going to be on the opening day roster.
Really?
I do. I think that they're going to make a move. I do.
I'm shocked to hear you say that.
Nah, I know, because we haven't really gotten into that as much lately because there's been the Pete stuff and some other, a lot of other sports, Rodgers, whatever.
I don't think they want Arenado, though.
I think they do. And I think that they also realize that to go into the season with whether it's DJ or Cabrera or Peraza as a third baseman, where you're going to get a lot of ground ball action with Max Fried's repertoire, Rodon's repertoire, just the lefties coming into the ankles of the righties. You got to have somebody third base who can pick the ball. So I don't think the Yankees are going to necessarily mess around, but they're not going to be uber aggressive. Like, the Cardinals are going to have to eat a desirable amount of the money, and if that happens, I think the Yankees will absolutely do it. I do. But and then they got to get rid of Stroman.
It's funny because the Yankees have no leverage with Stroman, and the Cardinals have no leverage with Arenado. I don't know if that's going to be a good fit, but I'm not saying I wouldn't go get Arenado, although I do think he's way past his prime, and you have Arenado and Goldschmidt at the corners. Yes, defense, but the offense, I think, would be lacking there and disappointing based on, you know, what they used to be. I don't think the Yankees have interest in Arenado.
I do. But I think it's on their terms, which is another.
I feel like it's been reported that it hasn't. That's why I'm curious why you're so bullish on them being interested.
Yeah, well, I think that they know that they need one. I really do.
Would you make it in reaction to Bregman to the Red Sox?
No, I wouldn't quite do that. Now, the Red Sox, by the way, that's the team, even before the Bregman move, we pointed out they've made some very good moves in the rotation. They're coming. I think they're better than the Rays. I think they're probably better than Toronto. And I think really the Orioles didn't do anything and they lost a few guys. I think the Red Sox could be the second best team in the division. I do.
Maybe in the league. I think so too. Here's my issue with it. I felt that way before Bregman. With the addition of Bregman, I always felt like it was going to happen with the Red Sox for whatever reason. I thought it would push them to the top. Of competitors with the Yankees, not better than the Yankees, but the top competitors. I hate that they're moving Bregman to second base. That is idiotic. The guy's a great third baseman.
Yep.
Like, part of the appeal, if not the majority of the appeal of Bregman, and I get it in that ballpark, hitting the home runs over the monster, like, it's going to play fine. So you know what you're getting offensively, but a big part of Bregman's appeal is his defense at third base, and you know this, BT, going from third base to second, it's a totally different animal.
Yeah, it really
is. A middle
is.
Infielder, like, it's not, like, you could go from short or second to third, but to go from third to second, the footwork is totally different. So you're potentially taking away what is a strength of Bregman and putting him in a new spot. You're minimizing the value of him as a player.
You are. I was just looking something up. I agree with you. I do. It's an odd move. Now, they're a mess at third base in terms comes to catching the ball. So not only are they putting their best third baseman at the wrong spot, but they're also sticking with a guy who just boots the ball left and right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I just wanted to double check, and it makes a little more sense now. So when he went to the minors, now this is a while ago.
Yeah.
He played shortstop in 2015 at A Ball and High A. He played shortstop in Corpus Christi, which is their Double A affiliate. And he played shortstop in AAA, the Pacific Coast League, with the Fresno Grizzlies. But then when he came up to the Astros that year, it's been exclusive. Well, he played a little bit of shortstop in the 2019 season out of necessity. But, you know, and granted, he's older. He's 30 now, so he doesn't quite have that bounce. But you don't need the bounce at second like you do at short. I mean, if you could handle short in the minors, and he was obviously, what was he, the second or third pick, whatever he was overall, I think he'll be good at second. I just think he'd be a little bit better at third.
Yeah, I have my doubts. And it's also a new position at the big league level after you played third base as well as anybody for however many years he's
terrific
done it.
Like, third baseman.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. That's the Red Sox issue. But I do think they're going to be a top competitor for the Yanks. Now, remember, we got the Baseball Card World Series coming up here. Pull your card World Series Game 2.
What year are we doing?
I don't know yet. I have not decided. I have home field this year. I took you down in Game 1 in 1990.
It's kind of a route, by the way.
Can't be. We had that, though, last year throughout the course of the
years. I was up 2-0.
Remember, it's only from 84 through 90.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we went a full 7, so we used every year. We'll see what happens this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Generally, I'm favored in the later years. You're favored in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I try to steal one here at home with an earlier year. I don't know.
I'm
going to go back there now and go grab a pack, and we'll come back with a little pull your card.
By the way, interesting thought process there.
I saw Susan yesterday. Susan Waltman was here. They had something to do. I got to say hello. Dave Sims as well. It was nice seeing Keith Rad, Pat McCarthy. They had the broadcast teams, but I was talking to Susan quite a bit because I haven't seen her in person, I don't know if like ever, or at least in a long time. And I was like, oh, you got to come on. She'll come on with us. Maybe not every week, obviously, but certain times throughout the course of the season. And she was giving me crap about not getting Dave Stapleton
for the Red Sox.
Against Booney. And I was like, it didn't click. Hoffitt told me that Susan said, oh, Sal should have his Mets fan card revoked. And I thought it was because of Ron Reynolds
the catcher, which you messed up. Yeah.
Who's a Met. And then she was explaining Dave Stapleton. I was like, oh my God. Then it clicked who he was.
With Buckner, he should have been out there. And he was out there. The only reason he was out there or wasn't out there is because they wanted Buckner out there for the final out to celebrate. It's Dave Stapleton was there. I mean, I'm not going to help you during the game.
No,
Susan's right.
But even after the fact, it didn't click to me until now. Obviously, I know who Dave Stapleton is stuff. But for whatever reason, it didn't register.
She was talking smack, basically.
Yeah. Well, I said, Susan, I still crush Booney, though, in the process.
Yeah, and by the way, we love Susan, but if Susan's so good and so tough, she could challenge us. Come on, Susan.
I did ask.
Let's go, Susan. Sit down. We'll give you a chance to beat us.
I did say, would you like to come in and play? We'd love to have you.
And what did she say?
She said no. She doesn't want to. She said no, flat out. She said, come on with us and have some fun. She doesn't want to play the card game with us. That's it.
Well, she wants to critique your ability to play the card game. She just doesn't want to play the card game.
She wasn't critiquing my ability. She was just saying,
she said your Met card should be revoked.
She's right. I should have known Dave. I'm with Susan. She was right. I should have known that one. Now, it was a near perfect pack for me. It's a little nitpicking, like you with the Knicks, but I mean, maybe even worse because I'm at a championship level here. The Knicks have not gotten there. I should have known Stapleton.
I noted one thing about my partner. One thing about you.
Yeah.
There are certain people here.
I won't go after
that
you.
That you just don't go against.
Let Susan's a legend.
And I love Susan. I'm not going come on, Susan. If you're that good, let's go.
Give me the people in your mind that I won't go. You're not
I mean,
wrong.
You kiss Frances's ass. Like, it's just
legend,
ridiculous.
Station legend.
All right, so he's still a human being.
But a station legend. Who's next?
By the way, as we're talking about Susan, happy birthday to Howie Rose. I did see that earlier today.
How old did he say?
I don't know, but happy birthday. I saw that. The Mets tweeted that out. And we love Howie. Susan.
Right.
You know.
Okay, station legend.
He even kissed Spike's ass when he was here. You did?
Spike?
Yeah.
He was the boss.
I understand that. You know.
I learned the hard way. I didn't kiss boss's asses years ago. I ended up getting fired.
You learn.
This time around, I'm going to kiss boss's asses.
Boomer. A little deferential, you know.
Oh, come on. Come on. Of the two of us, who's the ass kisser of Boomer? Come on.
Well, I just think it's a profound friendship that Boomer and I have. I mean, it's me kissing his ass. Who else do you really shy away from?
It's Mike and Susan.
Gary Cohen, I think, never say. He's not perfect.
He's an SNY legend, pro kids legend, former WFAN. Like Gary Cohen's an all-time legend.
I get that, but he's not without flaw.
I respect the legends that came before us. Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but you know,
just not as much. All right, BT and Sal in the Bay.
BT and Sal's Pull Your Card World Series. game two.
All right, here we go, BT. I took you down in game one. As you said, it wasn't really competitive in a pack of 1990 cards for game two, being that I am home for the second game before the series shifts to your home venue for 3, 4, and 5. Huh. I am going to go 1986 tops.
You pulling the 86?
1986 tops. We each have 13 choice. Cards in hand.
Yep.
I will have you read them to me first.
Okay. Okay. All right. 13 apiece. Ready to roll?
Yes. Go ahead.
Dombasol Garcia.
Toronto Blue Jays.
I didn't think you were going to get that one. One for one.
You wanted to give me. You wanted to start me cold and get
well,
me.
Well, yeah. I'm not trying to give you a room service fastball, yeah. Dude. I'm going to try to paint the black a little bit. Come on, okay. Man. Wayne Tolleson. I know you know the name. Wayne Tolleson.
Shoot.
Not Tolly, who used to work here.
Yeah. No, I definitely know who he is. As a matter of fact, I remember him well. And in 1987 tops, he was with the Yanks. I know that this is wrong and I'm going to hate myself for it. I'm going to say Yankees.
The Rangers.
I knew it wasn't the Yanks. God.
Sometimes
I just couldn't think of the other team.
Are so priceless here. I bet you even know what he looked like. The glasses. Like you could actually visualize
yes,
him, right?
I remember
like
him very well.
Those Chips glasses. Remember yes, Chips, the TV show Chips?
100%.
Mike Kruko.
San Francisco Giants.
Yep.
Pitcher, yeah.
He's one of their broadcasters.
I should have got Tolleson.
All right, 2 for 3 here. Terry Harper.
That's a name I'm not familiar
with. Not Ron Harper.
Or not Brian Harper.
Oh, Brian Harper. Yeah.
Terry Harper.
Not Roman Harper.
I'm going to say the Twins.
Braves.
Okay.
All right, 2 for 4.
Not good.
That's not terrible, dude. How about Rick Manning? Oh, Rick Manning. Interesting one.
Rick Manning.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
This is a little tricky. The team.
Rick Manning.
I actually remember watching him play, but the team's a little tricky.
Mariners.
Milwaukee.
Okay.
He was a center fielder, played for the Indians, too.
Let me see the card. Let me see that. Yeah, okay, I don't remember
okay.
that.
Okay. Let's go to, how about Craig Reynolds? Craig Reynolds.
Not manager? No.
No player. Ball player. Player. Active player. Craig Reynolds. 2 for 5 so far.
Craig Reynolds.
Let's see. Make sure it's 2 for 5. 1, 2. Three. Yep, 2 for 5.
Pack. You said this was an easy pack. This is a tough pack.
And sometimes it's subjective. I hear you.
Craig, would you have gotten this one?
I would have gotten this one. I don't know if I would have. Yeah. I think I would have gotten Manning wrong.
Astros?
Yes. Nice pull, dude.
Came to me. Dude, I don't know how that happened, but all of a sudden the vision popped in my head. I was like, oh, now I got it right.
That's a 2-out base hit right there to keep the rally going in a playoff game, in a World Series game. That's a clutch
hit.
I knew
the name. Damn it. I just couldn't put it together.
Rick Mailer.
That is Braves. Pitcher for the Braves.
4 for 7. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a pack that I thought you'd do fairly well on here. This J is probably a soft or a silent. Well, I think all J's are soft, but like Trujillo. It's a Trujillo? Trujillo? T-R-U-J? Trujillo?
Mike?
Yeah, Mike Trujillo or Trujillo.
I don't know why I'm seeing blue. I would go Blue Jays.
Close. Red Sox.
Okay. No, not close.
Trujillo. All right. 4 for 8, Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Trout. I know you know the name. Where was Steve Trout? 86, tops.
I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to hate myself for getting this one wrong. Dodgers.
Here's the pitch to Licata. Popped up, then that'll do it. Cups.
Oh,
4 for 9. Okay. How about Tippy Martinez?
Tippy Martinez, Orioles.
Good call.
Okay.
Good call. That's a good one.
I had to separate Dennis Martinez and Tippy in my mind.
Good job there. All right. How about Kent Tekulve?
He was with, this is actually a tricky one. He was with the Phillies on the 1986 Topps card.
Nice job.
Yeah. That's a tough one because you want to say Pirates.
That's always associate him with the Pirates more so. George Bell.
Blue Jays.
7 for 12. Marty Barrett.
Susan. Red Sox.
8 for 13.
Yeah. All right, so there we go. That's
good
not
job.
Bad.
No,
not bad.
Listen, pretty good. By the way, I texted Susan about coming on. and doing. And I just texted her during the break, so I'll let you know.
Saying,
what she
says. Do you want to do the baseball card game?
Yeah,
I told you yes. Yes, she said no.
Well, she said no to you.
Okay, all right.
And then she said yes to me.
All right. I was like, she's like, it's a 2-hour drive. All right, ready?
8 for 13.
I think this is a fairly
easy.
Yeah. No, I don't want to say easy, but because they're not. You know, some easy names, sure. I think this is, you could attain.
All right, let's let me get in the batter's box here. Game 2.
Claudel Washington.
Braves.
1. Nick Isasky.
Reds.
2 for 2. Manager's card. Dick Williams.
Padres.
3 for 3. Dave Stewart.
All right, now hold on a second. This came up, man. Dave Stewart.
Woo! Yeah.
He's definitely not with Toronto at this point. That's the 90s. I don't believe he's with the A's at this point. It's either the Rangers. I'm going to say the Rangers.
Phillies. Good guess, though. Good weeding that out. It was with the Phillies an odd year there. All right. Larry Sorensen.
Pitcher?
Yes.
Phillies?
Cubs. Another manager's card. Pat Corrales.
Phillies. Cubs. Wait. Pat Corrales. Indians. Pat Corrales is the Indians. You ruled on that.
I didn't say anything.
But I can't, you know, you got to rule on that. Whatever you rule,
would you
I will.
Rule on that? Dove
he
and
didn't
Hoffa,
say anything.
I didn't say anything. You fired out two teams.
He didn't say anything, though. He didn't say no.
I do think that you knew the answer.
I did.
After thinking about
did,
it, but you did shout out two, and I was like,
But you didn't even, you didn't go,
didn't say anything.
Well, so that's to be fair.
Which is your firm answer?
The Indians.
He did get it right with the, which is your firm answer.
I just want to make sure.
Let's give it to him and see what happens. Well,
right.
I'll give it to you because I do think that you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's why you gotta be careful.
I did.
Just
I got you. 4 for 6.
Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson. We're doing 86.
86 times. He's come up, man, and he screwed
he
us
has
up a
come
couple
up.
Of times.
I feel like he was not yet on the Cubs. I feel like he was still an Expo.
Expos.
Nice.
I got to wait for you to get a final answer here. Now I'm jumping five, four, seven,
Sal.
Okay. Mario Soto.
Reds.
Yes.
6 for 8.
Mike Marshall.
I believe, by the way, can I just give you...
What happens if we tie, by the way?
That's an outstanding question. We'll figure that out after.
Yeah.
I believe, maybe Hoff, you could just check this out. I have a little fun with these fun facts. And I remember watching it live in the basement with my dad, you know, Mets guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I had to put the Mets on first. That Lenny Dykstra hit his first career home run ever against Mario Soto in Riverfront Stadium.
All right.
Just a little side note.
Mike Marshall.
Dodgers?
Yes. So where are we at now?
7 for 9.
Glenn Wilson.
Astros.
Phillies.
Jeff
Stone.
Hold on, Sal. 7 for 11. Damn it.
Jeff Stone.
Wait, is that 7 for 10 or 7 for 11? 7 for 10. 7 for 10. 7 for 10.
You got 3 left.
I got 3 wrong.
Yeah, 3 left, I mean.
But I got 3
wrong.
Wrong.
Okay, yeah.
Who do you got?
Jeff Stone. I was not familiar with that name.
Oh, goodness. Jeff Stone. This microphone's getting a little droopy. I first saw a Philly, but I want to think about that. Phillies popped in. It's a National League team definitely popped in. I'm going to say Phillies.
That is correct.
Nice.
That's a good pull. You
Thanks,
familiar
man.
With him?
Enough to get it right.
Yeah. I never even heard of him. That's a good pull.
Yeah,
a good pull.
I mean, I remember seeing him against the Mets and all that. Yeah, 8 for 11.
Dan Gladden.
Okay. I could say what he looked like, and I could tell you the Twins
say,
in the World Series.
Obviously, familiar name.
I'll say Giants.
That is correct.
Nice. 9 for 12.
Dale Berra.
In 87,
This is 86. This is 86 top.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's either the Yankees or the Pirates or the Rays. I'm going to say Yankees.
That is correct.
Here
and I'm glad you got that because either way, with the Corrales thing, and we'd take that out.
Me too. I'm happy that's not like a point of contention.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of 13.
Nice tidy bounce back win for Team BT.
No, that is an impressive pack right
there. Thank you.
I thought you might be able to get most of those names, but even something like the Jeff Stone one, that's a good pull right
there.
Thank
you. Appreciate
that. And what was I, 8 of 13?
You were 8 for 13.
So Tolleson, I could have gotten
to
give me a 9.
I thought the one... Listen, Manning was a tough. I knew you knew
Let
the name.
Oh no,
played for the Indians
or
the Guardians, whatever. All right, Kruko, you got you.
Who did I miss?
You got
Collison.
You missed Tolley. You got Garcia. You got Craig Reynolds. You got Rick Mailer. You got Mike Trujillo.
Yeah,
whomever that is.
That one.
You missed Steve Trout. White Sox. Yeah, Yankees. Like you could have got a few. Yeah. You got Tippy, which was a good pull. You got Kent Akolvi, which was tough.
Right.
You got George Bell, that was easy. You got Marty Barrett, that was easy.
Really only one I could kick myself with the towels or the other.
True,
all right, good pack. So we're tied up at one.
Okay, here we go.
Maybe buckle up for another long series.
Here we go.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back down with the King topic today. It is the Knicks, and we'll continue the conversation with your calls, 888-808-1019.